I'm going to get a tattoo, I said, a heart, right here. I touched my chest. Oh, Michelle, Gwen said mournfully, don't get a tattoo that's going to remind you of a girl. The heart I wanted came from a deck of fortune-telling cards. A real heart, not a valentine. I got on my bus. It wasn't so crowded. I got two seats for myself. I stretched out to sleep and woke up in total greenery. Outside, the earth rolled gently, and there were lazy drooping trees and sunlight. This is where I belong, this in-between place. I dozed back off. I could have stayed on that bus forever. Someone else driving, always on my way, never arriving. In the Burger King parking lot, I smoked my romantic camels. A guy from Florida told me he was on his way to Phoenix to quit heroin. Greyhound is the coach of the desperate. He had his own cigarettes to smoke. We sat in our stories and stared out the windows. I realized I hadn't brought any socks, so I decided to, like, run away like this at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just left after, like, disco dancing, so I was all sweaty. Only had one pair of socks on my feet. My boots, these plasticky things I had bought at Payless when I was vegan, were falling apart. My toes felt pruney. It took 16 hours to get to Tucson. We pulled into town around 4 in the morning. Half asleep, I stumbled with my stuff to the Hotel Congress, where the Dillinger gang once hid out and was nearly caught by the law. One of the outlaws was shot out front and died in a puddle of blood. It was a hotel for fugitives. I got a room in the hostel part of the building, an old room. I imagined a band of bank robbers holed up behind the plaster walls. Army-style bunk beds and a porcelain sink with a hazy mirror. White toilet and a narrow shower, a radiator to hang my soaked socks on. I climbed up into the top bunk and stretched out, wondering if I was legally allowed inside the Hotel Congress and if there was a warrant for my arrest in the state of Arizona. When I lived there, I got into a brawl with a bouncer at the downstairs nightclub. It was my ex-girlfriend's fault. She had been out on the curb waiting for me and heard the bouncer call some boy a fag, so she started arguing with him. By the time I came up, the scene was really heated. Liz was a compulsive liar and loved to start fights, but I really believed in Liz, so I hopped right in, harassing the bouncers, calling them macho men, mocking them with a swishy little tap dance and muscle man moves. They were trying to kick us off the sidewalk, but we were waiting for our friends. Liz sarcastically applauded their toughness, clapping her hands about an inch from the big one's face, and finally he grabbed her and went to push her off the curb. Instantly, I was on him, kicking with my patent leather pumps. I got him good in the crotch. I tore at his shirt and his hair until his friends grabbed me in this police hold and I couldn't fight anymore. This was life with Liz. Violence could erupt at any minute, like a big song and dance number, a musical, a seething rage. You always shed penises, huh? Chuckled the bouncer. He was real rednecky looking. They called the cops on us, assault, so we called the cops back on them, assault. We went home. The police cars pulled up to the orange trees outside our quaint southwestern adobe, and the trust fund deadhead roommates went crazy trying to hide the bongs and the pipes. Three mustached men leaned coolly in our doorway. I showed them the bruises on my arms from the redneck's fingers. I was wearing this flower little dress. Look at her, Liz shrieked. She's 98 pounds. You think she assaulted them? My little sister, who was visiting, cried in the corner. It was too much for her. This was her vacation. Me and Liz split town before our court date. When I woke up in the morning, my socks had dried into stiff boards on the radiator. I would have to go without. I put on some shorts and a flannel I regretted once I left the hotel. Tucson just never gets cold. It was February, and it had to be about 90. I dragged my stuff over to Jaleesa's house. She was my friend from when I used to live there. Her house was beautiful, a little adobe with a porch that cradled cats and futons and hammocks. Majestic cacti and tall stalks of okra grew in her garden. It was magical. Jaleesa was happy to see me. She was this voluptuous, earthy chick who threw potlucks for Earth First and worked at a daycare center. I went to work with her and hung out with the kids. They thought I was a boy. I had no hair. I left my wig in San Francisco with Petra. I couldn't stop talking about her, and Jaleesa wanted to know everything. She was curious and fascinated. Oh, Petra's like this big FM, mod prim, tear stuff, tattooed girl too. She was curious and fascinated and judgmental and then insisted she wasn't being judgmental. We were eating cheap, delicious food at a Guatemalan restaurant. You had rough sex, she asked plainly. Yeah. You liked it? Yeah, I do not like rough sex, she said to her boyfriend, a hippie. He didn't either. That's great, I said, and drank my beer. Around the corner from Jaleesa's house was a little tattoo shop called Denim and Doilies. I went there with my little fortune-telling card and some money. The tattoo guy's name was Picasso, this big biker guy. His hair held back in a studded piece of leather. Now that's a real heart, he said appreciatively. He took me around back to the private room with the reclining chair and stuck the outline of the heart onto me with some speed stick. I had no reference point for tattoos. I didn't know how much they should cost or what they should feel like. Now I know that Picasso ripped me off and he was sadistic, digging the needle in deeply. I held on to a stuffed kitty cat with a pierced septum and tore the fur from it. It really hurt. I felt the stinging in my nipples, which Picasso was trying to get me to pierce. One thing at a time, I said. He took frequent cigarette breaks and I talked about Petra. He brought in some magazines to distract me. I picked up one of the modern primitive ones. That's her, I said numbly, staring at the cover. That's Petra. She looked sharp and dangerous, her fanged chin jutting out like a dare. No shit, Picasso called out to his wife. A skinny chain-smoking biker lady. That's her girlfriend, he bragged. Petra, the lady cooed. She's not my girlfriend, I pouted. Petra was never my girlfriend. Did you, like, fuck her? I nodded. She fucked her, he told his wife. Petra, she exclaimed again. Do you know Zanya, too? She turned to a photo of another pierced and tattooed naked girl, Petra's friend. Yeah, I know her, I said wearily. Zanya, she shrieked. Zanya's her favorite, said Picasso. You could get stuff pierced at Denim and Doyle's by this really hip, good-looking fag. His ear was as slinky as stainless steel. His hair was long and dark. He was about 17, and he was already much too jaded for Tucson. He invited me to a party the next night. A dyke party, he said, with a little tinkle in his voice. When Julissa came to the shop to pick me up, she had the boy give her a tour of the piercing area. He showed us all the gleaming needles, and I thought of Petra's knife. So you stick these into people, Julissa asked. Oh, yeah, said the boy. Great, she said. Julissa had this really sarcastic way of saying great. She looked at the pictures on the wall cut out from magazines. They chain themselves together by their belly buttons, she asked, pointing to one. That's not codependent. Before I went to bed that night, I covered the new tattoo with saran wrap so the goo wouldn't get all over Jaleesa's sheets. It nearly looked like a real heart hanging rawly outside my ribs the way I wanted, a mess of wet red and pus and salve. Gory. But when I woke up in the morning, it looked like I'd been shot in the chest. I'd sweated out bunches of the ink. Why'd you do that? Picasso cried when I called the shop. His masterpiece. He'd been so proud. Now you can tell everyone you own a Picasso, he'd said, taping a square of gauze to my chest. And now I'd ruined it.